We're studying the Names of God series. I have two lessons today. You'll probably get two lessons a week for the rest of the year. Today we're going to study the Paraclete, which is the Comforter, and Thura, which is the Door. Okay, so I told you John 14, but we're going to do John 10 first. So if you want to go back to John 10. And John 10, verse 9 says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, guide my thoughts today. Comfort my spirit, and just allow me to give out the lessons in a concise and clear manner, Father. Help me to teach how you would have me to teach. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the door. We need to recognize that the prefix of the title Jehovah, I am, the door. That title literally means whatever is needed. God is. Simply fill in the blank. In this particular application, God reveals that the Lord Jesus Christ is the door, because it is God who is revealing the descriptive title in recognition of himself. There is no other who can bear this title. We have two distinct articles to help clarify and substantiate this simple yet profound truth. Jehovah I Am refers to only God, although many false religions have claimed authority or even attempted to gain recognition by identifying with Jehovah. None dare to proclaim themselves Jehovah, okay? Which is, I've never heard anybody else say that, you know, they use the word Jehovah and say that, you know, they are God, okay? Jehovah's Witness, they don't claim themselves to be God. They refer to Jehovah. So, the door describes one of a kind, uses the definite direct article, the, meaning there is no other, okay, so that is the door. There are not other doors, only one door, specific, directive, and unique, because there are no others. Step on my... Oh, there we go. Okay, the context of John 10 helps bring us helps us to understand why this truth is so important as a message, and why it is so critical as a possession. When we read, I am the door, we must understand that this is not a God speaking, but by definition, the one who is what he is. The ever-present, perfect, permanent one. The self-existent one. No one could be better equipped to show us the truth of this name than the one who literally is the I am of every need. The example, Jehovah the door, whatever is needed, wherever it is needed. You use a kitchen cabinet. Source of the supply is unlimited. There is always enough. That's a little typo. There is always enough. The only limitation is access. Okay? Did everybody get all those blanks? There's only three on that sheet, so. In the illustration, our Lord is using to identify this great truth concerning the door of life. The statement, I am the door of the sheep, implies not a door for the sheep, but a door to the sheep, into the sheepfold. Such a door can never be narrowed to the fold or widened. Man must come to the door, following the shepherd, entering by faith through the door into the fold. Entering by faith, one side is outside and one side is inside. In the children's song, only one door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside, which side are you? You cannot be on the inside and the outside at the same time. To be inside means you turn your back on the world, which has eternal consequences, And to be on the outside means you turn your back on God, which has eternal consequences. When you enter, you find peace, joy, safety, refuge from life's trials and burdens. While a door admits, it can also exclude. When the invitation is given, the door was open, but when they finally attended to it, the door was closed. In order to open the door, you must use faith's key. Let's see, soldier's dream, backpack, protection, confidence, achievement. I don't know the reference that they're talking about that. The door can be open to you, or you can open the door. A door can be closed to you, or you can close the door. The door is open to all, but not all will open the door. No man shuts God's open door. The door is open unto men, but some refuse to go through. Okay? That one was quick. Got that one out of the way, because I'm really interested in the other one, the paraclete. Any questions on the door? Okay. And you all have your notes now? All right. This one is the long one. There you go. Okay, the paraclete. We'll go back to John chapter 14 now. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." In this context, the Lord is promising us the comforter that will come and abide with us, and he describes him in verse 17 as a spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. What we're talking about is the Holy Spirit. And so, we'll get into this lesson. The Greek word for comforter is parakletos. Parakletos. Those are hard to pronounce. From which we get the paraclete. Paraclete is composed of two words, clete, which means called, and para, meaning along with. Paraclete is one who is called along with another, or one who is called to another's aid. Okay? Clete represents the one who is called. Unable to plead successfully before judges, another is called to intercede on his behalf and to help the clete. The para of help is referred to as an advocate. Okay? The name advocate is used only once, but the same Greek word is translated in four other references as comforter. Okay? John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, and John 16:7. The three titles are representative of the truth of the Comforter, but each manifests a unique truth concerning the ministry of God our Comforter. Okay. Excuse me. John 13:33 and 14:1-8. In John's Gospel, the account is given concerning another Comforter, which we read in John 14:16. And the two great truths are quickly seen. By the use of the word another, the Lord Jesus implied that he is the other comforter. By use of the word another, the Lord Jesus is acting as the comforter by relating to his disciples that he will provide them with comfort, even in his absence. while he is unveiling this truth, he is fulfilling it. There is an additional revelation in this truth of another comforter that carries a twofold significance. Another of the same kind and another of a different kind. Well, which one is it? The word has a root meaning in the same likeness or mere image. It does not mean unique, which could be interpreted another. The context as well as the etymology clarifies this great truth. He who comforts will comfort, whether present or absent, he will comfort. Now that is a comfort, and that is a comfort. The word for comfortless means to desert or to leave desolate. It's also translated orphaned. The promise itself was of great comfort. The Lord Jesus was leaving, but he was not leaving them alone. He was providing one who would be as he and continue in his absence. They would not become orphans. Okay, the illustration of identical twins. They're inseparable characteristics. Okay, Christ and the Holy Spirit. Same person in the Godhead, but different manifestation. Okay. When Jesus made the promise, he was mindful of his departure. He certainly had Calvary in view, but he was also mindful of another comforter, for he also had Pentecost in view, which was when the Holy Spirit descended. And the disciples certainly evidenced the fulfillment of this great promise in Acts 9:31. They ministered in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were mindful of his presence and his encouragement in their trials. He is the comforter. You want to check 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. The Greek word paraclete, he is the counsel for the defense. The word rendered advocate was used by John through the Holy Spirit to identify Christ as our intercessor in heaven, and then used by the Lord to describe himself while on earth. Paraclete, then, is a term used to identify one who comes forward in favor of and as a representative of another. He ministers, counsels with the clete, or the one called. Advocate, then, pleads the case before the judge. He represents the clete, or the one called, before the seat. The difference in the name may in some measure explain the difference in the mission and ministry of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pleads with us in our hearts, producing comfort or conviction, and this is the counsel of God guiding his children. The Lord Jesus pleads for us in heaven, and thus advocates our case before the throne and against the accuser of the brother. If we do not sin, our advocate pleads the shed blood of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. We have two divine advocates, one with the Holy Spirit, or one within the Holy Spirit, and one above the Lord Jesus Christ. As paraclete, he is our counselor, but as our advocate, he pleads for us. The paraclete, he speaks to us. As an advocate, he speaks for us. When we're in trouble about a matter of the law, we should first require the opinion of a counselor to make our case clear. Then an advocate would be necessary to plead our case. To plead our own case would be foolish. A good attorney advocate is familiar with the ways of the law and the court, is familiar with our case, and is able to take our case. We are privileged to be represented by the Lord Jesus, who pleads our case. Herbert Lockyer reminds us that of the qualifications of he who ever lives to make make intercession for us. He must be wise in the ways of the court of judicature. You can read it. Our heavenly advocate is most certainly is. Colossians 2, verse 3. He is familiar with judgment because there is one who judges us, and that is the Word of God. So, he must belong to the law, which is the rule for him to practice. Christ satisfied the law for us by his death, and likewise fulfilled the law for us by his obedience. He must have the judge's ear more than others, having full authority to speak, which Jesus has. Reference John 11:42. The ground of his pleading is Calvary, which gives him prevailing power with the judge of all the earth. He must be careful to keep up the honor of the judge to prevent any contempt of court. In his high and priestly power of John 17, our heavenly advocate illustrated this in truth. Because all they are in themselves, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, are alone qualified to intercede in and for us. And they are our only intercessors. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. We have only one advocate in the presence of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father listens intently for our plea, presented on our behalf by the advocate above, inspired by the advocate below. We have only one who ever lives to make intercession for us. He is alongside those who are called, Paraclete, consoling the troubled heart by giving us in truth through God's word, guiding us in truth. In his absence, we find, instead of sorrow or abandonment, another comforter, a complete comfort here below and there above. Okay. John 14:8, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you to represent us and present our needs to the Father as Jesus does in heaven. Okay? To reveal the truth, or God's truth to us, to remind us of Christ, and to remit comfort, encouragement, and consolation to believers. How does the Paraclete, Advocate, Comforter comfort us? By being our prayer partner in Romans 8:26-27 and Philippians 4:6-7. By being our teacher, John 14:26, and by being there when we are hurting, 1 Corinthians 1:3-7. He stays with the believer as counselor, consoler, comforter, companion, and counsel, speaking to us, through us, and for us, so we will never again be alone or be unable. What a comforter. Okay, did I do that too fast? I did. We got a whole half hour left. Thought these were going to take a lot longer than they did. Anyway, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, here with us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Advocate that pleads with us, or pleads for us with the Father. I know in my life, I wouldn't make it without either one of those. The Holy Spirit to help me along the way every day, and the Lord Jesus that pleads my case before the Father a lot. So, I don't know. I'm often amazed at how much the Lord, puts his attention on one as insignificant as me, somebody who probably, well, somebody who doesn't live up to the expectations that the Lord has for him. But he still loves me, he still cares for me. And the same is true for all of you. So, I know I'm early, so you're just going to have to find something to do with yourselves for half an hour. Okay, let's pray.